Well, we could look more directly at the Bible about what it says children to do and fathers to do. And sometime on a Father's Day, we'll do that. But I thought for today, we would look at Jesus' example of how he related to other people and how it fits parents. It fit mothers and fathers. But Jesus was a good example on how to deal with other people. And he shows us the way applied to this of how to deal with children. So if you will come with me to some of Jesus' example, we'll look at John chapter 10, which is the Good Shepherd section. And the point being here is he had personal attention. He knew everybody by name, all of his sheep. Well, that fits relationships with everybody else, but also fits children. So let's look at John chapter 10. And we can't read all of it or we wouldn't get done in time, but we'll look at verses 1 through 4. And then verse 14 and verse 17. Verse 1, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his own voice, and he calls his own sheep out by name, he knows every one of them, and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Verse 17. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. So in John chapter 10, the whole thing is about he is a good shepherd and he carries his little helpless sheep. Now he knows everybody by name and he's omniscient. He has his Father's attributes of all knowledge, so he's not going to forget a name. We probably can forget a name from time to time. I try not to. I may know everybody here, but if we have visitors and strangers, I try to catch it. That's the right thing to try. But Jesus never forgets any name. Applied to his personality, he was not distant. He was not cold. He was not uncaring. He was not aloof. My funny way of saying it is people work is more important than paperwork. Now, I like books, and I like research, and they're very, very important. On the other hand, if someone has a need, the books stop. And just for an example, you don't even know it, but I did a funeral last week. Person over here in this side of town was dying. The grapevine says they're dying. There's nobody to help them. Well, I'll do it. So, illustrating, Jesus knows his own sheep by name. He cares about each one. Applied to being fathers, of course, we know their names. But on the other hand, the right way to raise children is to give each one personal attention. Well, when it was our turn, I tried deliberately, because I'm weird, but I would work till midnight when I was single. Keep memorizing Hebrew and Greek work. As soon as we got married and had kids, we'd go home at 5:30 or 6. That's it. And it was done deliberately. First of all, I don't believe that your career will be that much better. I have known of Christian leaders that didn't take care of their kids and family. They worked all evening, and now they're divorced and their families are a mess. That sure didn't do any good. So knowing each sheep by name, my philosophy was at least a half hour to each child. Now, sometimes they wanted to play together, But even if not, at least a half hour to each child. Apply to every life. Do we have time for people in need? Very often in the business world, we have people walk by and say, "How are you doing?" And they don't really care, and they really want you to buy something, and that's that. But the Christian way is, how are you doing? You actually care and watch for people in need. I mean, we apply this today to children, but we watch for all people in need. And if we know a need, we'll drop what we're doing and go after it. Jesus knew all of his sheep by name, personal interest. A second thing about him, and if you'll come back to another story in John chapter 3, will be he would tell the truth even if it was risking making someone mad. So caring personally about each child, caring personally about other people, people work more important than paperwork. That's John chapter 10. Now come to John chapter 3 is he's telling the truth, taking a risk that someone might not like it. And that's what good parents do. Tell the truth, taking a risk that somebody might not like it. This is the conversation with Nicodemus. And again, we can't read the whole conversation, but we'll get his point. Let's look at John chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. And then verse 10. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" Verse 10. Jesus said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and you do not understand these things?" Now, we're not doing the whole conversation here. My point is making is Jesus would tell the truth, even if he's taking a risk, to get somebody who disagrees with it. And that's what good people do. That's what good people do to others. That's what good people do when they're parents. That's what they do to their children. That's what good fathers do to their children and good mothers do to their children. At the end of chapter 3 of John, we do not know whether Nicodemus agreed with him or not. But Jesus took the risk of giving him the truth. In a way that was nice, in a way they didn't try to get him upset, but he took the risk of going ahead and say the truth, whether Nicodemus would like it or not. Later we learn that Nicodemus did become a believer. We can't tell it here in this conversation on this night. And read all of John chapter 3, including John 3:16. At the end, you just can't tell. You get to John 7:50. Nicodemus came to him later. John 19:39, he who first came to him by night, then he brought burial spices after Jesus died on the cross. So Nicodemus was like really top, the teacher of the Jews. Nicodemus was probably in the Sanhedrin, a group of 70, a ruler of Israel. At the start, Jesus told the truth, risking that he might not agree. Now, it's best to try not to make other people upset when we tell the truth. We do it in a nice way, trying not to make a risk. But on the other hand, he told him the truth, taking a risk, whether they like it or not. And concerning children, concerning all relatives, you know, brothers and sisters and in-laws and whatever, we try not to upset them. On the other hand, there are certain things that have to be told as the truth and taking the risk, whether they like it or not, just like Jesus did here on this occasion. So looking at Jesus' example, he cared personally for each of the sheep. He knew each one by name. I would say, relative to fatherhood or parenting, give attention to each child. You know, drop some of the other stuff that seems important and give attention to each child. And tell them the truth. Do it in a way that seems nice, but if telling them the truth takes the risk of making them mad, then that's what Jesus did. Tell the truth, even if it risks making them mad. A third example of Jesus is that he tried to be as gentle as possible. It's his dominant character trait. And for this, let's look at Matthew chapter 11. We'll read Matthew 11, and we'll read verse 29, but then we'll go over to chapter 12 and verse 17 for more of the same thing. His dominant character trait was being gentle. Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I am gentle. That's how he started out. Now, chapter 12, verse 17. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I have put my spirit upon him. He will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. But here's how he will do it. He will not quarrel, nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A battered reed he will not break off. He won't pull anything up. A smoldering wick he will not pull out until he leads justice to victory, and in his name the Gentiles will hope. Observing the way Jesus treated other people was, he started out gentle. There were times when he was not gentle, but he started out gentle. And he remained as gentle as possible. Now, there are times when he was not gentle. He got rough. But usually he got rough with people who were leading others astray. His dominant characteristic was to be gentle. And he tried to be gentle all the way through. If he got rough, it's because they were leading other people astray and he would get rough to protect them from damage of what could be done. He started out, quote, a friend of sinners. Matthew 11:19. There are actually two or three others like that in Luke 5 and Luke 15 also. He started out a friend of sinners. When he got hard on people, it's usually those that were harming others. He's trying to protect others. He turned over the banking tables in the temple because these people were cheating others. So he got good and mad at that time and turned over the banking tables. One time, to the chief priests, he called them whitewashed sepulchers, which is an odd figure of speech. And anyway, what it means is it's a work of art on the outside. Looks really good on the outside, but in the inside it's dead. So Jesus could get rough. He got rough in turning over the tables, and he got rough in calling them graves. They're basically dead on the inside, look like works of art. He got rough, but he would mainly start out gentle, try to remain gentle, and he mainly got rough when others were leading others astray. He mainly got rough when someone was harming someone else. That's when he would get tougher the most. But relative to, say, most relationships, relative to raising kids, good Christians start out with Jesus' example, gentle. Start out gentle with them. Do tell them right from wrong. Don't leave it out, even though it might make them mad, but start out gentle. Try not to be tough and argumentative. Tell the truth. Like Jesus in Matthew 12, he told the truth in the streets, but he didn't yell at them all. As sometimes you see with modern day evangelists yelling at them all. I remember a parade in Amarillo where they were going down the street and one guy was walking by and telling everybody, "You're going to hell." I'm like, really? First of all, I'm not. And secondly, why don't you say something positive like, no one needs to go to hell. Why don't you say it that way? So Jesus' example was gentle and starting out gentle and trying to stay that way. Relative to some of the Bible verses, there is discipline, quite a few Bible verses on discipline. Well, no, in Proverbs 13:24, he who spares the rod, then that verse says, hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. 5 more of them. Okay, we can all look them up later. Many verses on discipline, but also many verses on spending time and many verses on teaching. My philosophy on discipline was, I was probably about a 3 out of 10 because I grew up being spoiled. Every day, what do you want to eat? You know, well, I want pancakes and maple syrup and stuff. Just spoiled, so I tend to be that way. Relative to discipline, I thought for danger and for defiance. Danger would be, don't put your hands under the lawnmower. Don't do that again. Danger would be, don't get in the medicine cabinet, which one of our kids did and took a pill. No lawnmowers, no medicine cabinet. Okay? Discipline for that. Also, tend to go for discipline when it's absolute defiant. Don't do such and such, and they go ahead and do it. And they tell it once. Don't hit your mother. So I do believe in discipline, but for dangers and defiance, but lots of times on spending time and trying to teach what is right. Jesus' example, Matthew 18:19, let the children come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. All through the Bible on teaching kids. Deuteronomy 6:6-7, these words which I'm commanding you this day shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. And just one out of the New Testament. Ephesians 6:4, fathers, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Next one is take care of them even when you're tired. Just example is in Mark chapter 6. Let's please come to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, what's going to happen after the portion we read is he's going to feed the 5,000. He's just going to keep working with them. So let's read Mark chapter 6, verse 30, what happens before the feeding of the 5,000. Mark 6, verse 30, the apostles gathered together with Jesus, and they reported to him all they had done and taught. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while. For there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. And they went away in a boat to a secluded place by themselves. The people saw them going, and many recognized them, and ran there together on foot from all the cities, and got there ahead of them. When Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd, and he felt compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Okay, so it's getting late and all that, and now he feeds them. I asked the Basses if little baby Callie Mae keeps them up all night. Asked them last week. Getting pretty good, actually. No, you sleep all night. But Jesus did his work to take care of people, and even when he was tired. And that happens sometimes with parenting. You're going to be all worn out, got too much to do, and they have needs. You take care of them. I will always remember. Myrna was sick in bed. I was sick. Carlton was sick. We're all sick. So he's screaming in the middle of the night. In the middle of the night, I'm walking around feeling sick and walking around and carrying him around, trying to get him to be quiet. Try to go to bed. So Jesus was all worn out. Let's go away and find some rest. And then he gets in the boat and he sees them running along the shore. And then when he gets there, they are sheep without a shepherd, which means they had needs and they needed to be taught, and they were actually hungry and so on and so forth. And he works until late that night taking care of them. So Jesus' example for all of us is when something really needs to be done, if it's inconvenient, we still go ahead and do it. And that applies to taking care of kids. It applies to helping everybody, actually. Duty calls. And when duty calls, we might be inconvenient. Now we have one more to go. And then I'll review them all while you're turning to 1 Peter 2. Jesus had personal care for each sheep. He knew them all by name. Personal attention to kids. Jesus risked telling the truth, even if it might offend them. I mean, you do it in a nice way, but tell the truth. Like he talked to Nicodemus. He tried to be gentle most of the time and really only got rough when they were being led astray into danger. He would help even when it's inconvenient. Now we'll look at 1 Peter 2, and here it is. When he was mistreated, he just trusted God the Father. Gave it over to God when he was mistreated. That's 1 Peter 2. And we can actually read verses 21 through 23. You have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats. And here's really the punchline. Kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. Gorgeous is an example of how to deal with unfairness. He didn't return with harsh words. He didn't make threats. He just turned it over to God the Father. Kept doing what is right. I used 1 Peter 2. We could have used Luke 23, but we just taught Luke, so I didn't want to go right back there. But Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Into your hands I commend my spirit. So here is an example of, not getting along right now, but he entrusted himself to God the Father even when he was mistreated. So here are some examples of Jesus. I actually have some more of them, but we won't go into them. When I look about relationships with other people, it can be applied to relationships to children. Each one gets attention, knowing a sheep by name. Give them the truth, even if it risks making them upset, like with Nicodemus. Start out gentle, be as gentle as possible, get rougher maybe when they're going into harm. But Jesus' dominant character traits was gentle. Doing what is right and needs to be done, even when one is tired. And if something is unfair, just turn it over to God. Jesus is an example for all of us, and we can think about he as an example for parenting. And the musicians, please come.